Okay, everybody, so today's daf is Kuf Ayin Gimel. And to understand the Gemara properly, we need to go back briefly to the Mishnah on Kuf Ayin Beis Omid Aleph. We're in the middle of the Mishnah, towards the bottom of the Omid, fourth line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us about a hypothetical case of two people that have the exact same name, Kuf Ayin Beis. Mishnah down here, or maybe it's a little English. Yeah. So what does it say in the Mishnah?
Yitzchak ben Pinchas, for example.
Exactly. That's certainly a very unique individual. We're getting back to our Mishnah. Shnayim shoyu bi'ir achas. Two people had the exact same name in the same city. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem acher Yosef ben Shimon. Two Yosef ben Shimons in the same city. Ein yichoyim lohitzi shtar choyv ze al ze. If one of them wants to go and be moitzi shtar choyv, in other words, when Yosef ben Shimon says, you, the other Yosef ben Shimon, you owe me money, he will not be able to go and produce a shtar against him. Why? We'll see him yet in the Gemara. And another person cannot go and say, you, Yosef ben Shimon, owe me money, look at my shtar. Because the Levi can go and say, you don't mean me, you mean the Yosef ben Shimon across the street. No, me, the other Yosef ben Shimon. Of course, Yosef ben Shimon is a very unique name. However, in Muncie on Martha Road, until a short period of time ago, there were two people. One was at 8 Martha Road. The other person was 9 Martha Road. His name was Mr. Chaim Katz. The other one was Mr. Benzion Katz. Wow. They were not related. And very, very frequently, the mailman would put Mr. Benzion Katz's mail into Mr. Chaim Katz's mailbox, and vice versa.
Are they both Kohanim?
One of them was certainly a Kohen. The second one, I don't recall. But bottom line is, the mailman didn't know whether they were Kohanim or Leviim or Yisraelim, but he did know they were both Katzes, and you know, so you have the two Yosef ben Shimons, and Reuven ben Yaakov, who is the Malve, goes to Yosef ben Shimon and says, hey, you owe me $100. Here's your star, you know, you owe me. You don't mean me, you mean the guy across the street, the other Yosef ben Shimon. So therefore, le'acher yochel lohitzi alein shtar choyf. That's what we learned in this part of the Mishnah. Now turning to the Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to be medayik. What about the other way around? What means the other way around? What happens if somebody, let's look at the Gemara. We'll talk about nefila in a moment. Did not. This is now on Kuf Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, about 7 lines from the bottom. Did not. Shnayim shoyu bi'ir achas. We're quoting now from our Mishnah. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon. Shem acher Yosef ben Shimon. Two Yosef ben Shimons. Ein yichoy lohitzi shtar choyv ze al ze. Neither of them can go be moitzi. In other words, if you have a beautiful shtar choyv that says, I, Yosef ben Shimon, owe Yosef ben Shimon money, neither of them will be able to be moitzi the shtar choyv on the other. V'lo yacher yochel lohitzi alein shtar choyv. A malva comes to one of the Yosef ben Shimon's and says, you owe me money. He says, no, not me. It's the other guy. So this is the Mishnah that we just quoted. But now the Gemara is medayik. Koheim al acherim yecholim. What happens if one of the Yosef ben Shimon's comes to Reuven and says, Reuven, you owe me money. Look at the shtar. Shtar says that the Malve Yosef ben Shimon lent money to Reuven. Then Mashal from our Mishnah, he can collect. It's only if he's the loiver, then he can go and say, it's not me, it's the other guy. However, if it's the malva that Yosef ben Shimon bringing in the shtar, and he says, you, Reuven, owe me money, here's the shtar, then you can go and collect. Now, what is this svara behind it? Because otherwise, if it's the other Yosef ben Shimon, how does this malva have this shtar? And it's got to be his shtar. Elamai, v'amai lechish l'nefila. Maybe we should worry about that it fell from the author Yosef ben Shimon. So Yosef ben Shimon was walking down the street, and he dropped his shtar. The other Yosef ben Shimon found it, and he's trying to go and collect it from the other Reuven. How? I'm sorry?
Chances are almost zero.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what the Gemara said. And you all know this because it was yesterday's Gemara. Elav shema mino l'nefila l'chashina, we're not choishish l'nefila. Period. This type of situation that one Yosef ben Shimon loses it, the other Yosef ben Shimon finds it, highly unlikely. Skip the rest. Now to the top of the Amud. Velahadasanya. We have another brisa. Guess what? Kishem shein moitzien shtar choiv ze al ze kach ein moitzien al acherim. Wow. Here it says that the Yosef and Shimon cannot be moitzi al acherim. Now, what would be the svar to say ein moitzi? Like Gemara was suggesting that maybe it fell, it didn't belong to this Yosef and Shimon, belonged to the other Benjamin. But we just said now that we're not choishish l'nafila. And as Bill said, this is so remote, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 1,000, whatever. What's the likelihood Yosef ben Shimon is going to go and lose Ishtar, and the person that's going to find is going to be the other Yosef ben Shimon? Very unlikely. And so therefore, how could this brisa say kach ein moitzin al acherim, that Yosef ben Shimon cannot be moitzi Ishtar against others? Avad it's mine. You think I found it from the other Yosef ben Shimon? So where's the machlokes between our Mishnah and this brisa b'may kamifligi? Says Yomar, but oisiyos nikness b'mesira kamifligi. Everybody agrees I'm not choishish l'nafila. What I am concerned is that perhaps the person that is bearing this shtar, it says, you owe me the money. Maybe this is taka the other Yosef ben Shimon, but he bought the shtar choy from the first Yosef ben Shimon. First Yosef ben Shimon lent $100 to Reuven. And he himself, this Yosef ben Shimon, could use some cash because he wants to invest in something or what have you. And he knows the other Yosef ben Shimon. And he says to the other Yosef ben Shimon, would you mind buying this promissory note from me? Of course, I'll give you a discount. Number one, because it's not due yet. Any promissory note that's not due yet itself has a built-in discount. Number two, I don't know how credit-worthy the other fellow is, the lawyer. And number three, he's probably going to give you a hard time because I'm Yosef Shimon. Fine, $50, I'll be willing to go and buy the promissory note. And he buys it. Now, when you go and buy and sell a promissory note, do you have to go and have a separate shtar in which you go and say, I am selling you the attached promissory note? Or all you have to do is you take the promissory note and hand it over to the other guy. That's a machlokes which we call oisiyos niknos b'mesira or not. The Gemara elsewhere also uses the expression whether mili b'mili koni. Mili b'mili means oisiyos with oisiyos. Do you have to have a separate shtar or do you not have to have a separate shtar?
Certainly if there are two different people, two different names, so you would have to have a separate shtar because the individual who was named in the original shtar wouldn't be the named person that he sold it to.
You're talking generically in other cases.
Yes.
But in this particular case, we don't have that concern.
Right.
This one Yosef ben Shimon gives it to the other Yosef ben Shimon,
right.
And the loiver remains the same, Reuven, and therefore he says, if you give me $50, I give you the shtar. The question is that enough to effect a kinyan, or do you have to have a separate shtar in which you say, I am selling you the attached shtar, and then that is what causes the kinyan to be effective. You're very welcome. So, mamai kamifgi, what is this nickname? Mesira kamifgi. Tana di don sover, oisiyos nickness be mesira. Our Tana in our Mishnah holds that oisiyos can be sold be mesira, meaning that you do not need a separate kinyan, a separate shtar, just hand over the shtar, and now it belongs to the other individual. Ah, so now when the loive is challenged and told him, you got to go and pay me on this shtar, if he wants to go and say, why should I go and pay you on that shtar? It belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon. He says, sir, I bought it from him this morning, and therefore it's my shtar. What raya do I have? I don't have to bring any raya. The fact that I'm holding on to this shtar, I didn't find it in the street because nefil loy chashinan. So how did I get this shtar? Either because you were the original loiv and I was the original malva, and if you're saying no, I bought it from him. Do I have to bring any other pieces of paper? No. Oh, you see, it's Nicholas from Masira. So that's why our Mishnah says that nobody can go and bring a shtar against the Yosef ben Shimon, because he can always say, it's not me, it's the other guy. However, a Yosef ben Shimon can be moitzi shtar choiv ala chayrim, because I own the shtar, I bought it. That's our Mishnah. Tana Brasa, but the other Tana holds, and you know, you see his from Messiah. No, you have to have a separate shtar to go and effect a kinyan. Or that being the case, so even if I am the second Yosef ben Shimon, and I bought this shtar from the first Yosef ben Shimon, if I don't have a piece of paper identifying that I bought that other shtar. Just the fact that I have the original shtar doesn't do the trick, and the levy can go and say, your acquisition was not chal, was not effective, and therefore at maximum I owe the other guy, but I certainly don't owe you. And in fact, Rishbam says he can say, what status does it have in your hand? It's like a pikadon. Since the acquisition was not effective, it's as if you're holding it as a toyva for the other guy. But lamaisa, this shtar doesn't belong to you. Rishbam says, however, what the two Yosef and Shimon's can do is they can go and write a shtar hashoah. Shtar hashoah means a power of attorney, where one Yosef and Shimon authorized the other Yosef and Shimon to go and collect on his behalf. So therefore, if and when the Yosef and Shimon comes to the Loiv and says, you owe me money, and he says, no, it's not you, it's the other Yosef and Shimon, fine, it's not the other Yosef and Shimon. I have a power of attorney from the other Yosef and Shimon to go and collect on his behalf, and then either way, he can go and get paid. But in the absence of that, Shtar Hashoah, says the Braisa, Ein Moitzien Ala Cheirim, and Yosef and Shimon cannot try to collect from the other person because maybe the shtar was not effectively his, even though he bought it. Yes?
Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov, Yosef and Shimon ben Shmerel.
Right.
It's the easiest way to resolve this mistake.
That was yesterday's Mishnah. So look at the end of yesterday's Mishnah. What happens if both have the same name, Ketzed Yasu? They should go and write the third name.
Right.
And Rishbam said, what's the third name? His name was Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, and the other person's name was Yosef ben Shimon ben Naftali. Sorry?
The Rishbam says that even their grandfather's name was the same. It's like...
That's the length. What you're doing is we're doing Chazor of yesterday's Mishnah. I don't mind doing it, but just bear in mind that that's not related to our Mishnah.
Okay.
Our Mishnah said, Ki Tzidyasu Yishavshu. What happened, Vim Hoyu Mishu Loshin, says the Mishnah, that magically Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, what do you do now? What you have to do is go to the fourth generation. You cannot do just based on. Then the Mishnah said at the end, Yikosfu Koyin. If one is a Koyin and one's a lady, put in the word Koyin. Since we're talking about this, it's an interesting, most of us think that the term Koyin is part of the person's name. So that, for instance, if Chas V'Sholom, someone is not well, and we're calling up a Misha Beirach, and we're giving an emes, and then people say, don't just say Yosef ben Shimon, say Yosef ben Shimon HaKoyin, or Yosef HaKoyin ben Sprinzer, or Yosef HaKoyin ben Gnendel, or whatever the name is. From our Mishnah's Mashma, they bring a Raya, that Koyin is not an essential part of the name, because it says if both of them had exactly the same three names or four names, and both of them were Mesuman, and both of them were short, and both of them were tall, both of them were green, both of them were white, and both of them were black, then you should go and throw in the name Koyin. I put in Koyin initially. Oh, so you see, Koyin apparently is not an essential part of the name. So the Meila by the Mishnah Beirach is one thing, but what happens if you're writing at a Ksuba? You're writing out Chas V'Sholom Get. What happens if you leave out the fact that the person is a Kohen? Is that a problem in the Ksuba or in the Get? From our Mishnah is Mashma, that Kohen is not part of the name, it's just his title, like Mr. or Rabbi, or he's Kohen. Not to minimize the fact that the Kohen are the elite of Klal Yisrael, it goes without saying. The only question is whether or not that's an essential part of his name or not. From our Mishnah, it's Mashma as Mishnah. Anyway, we're off the subject, getting back to our Gemara now. And our Gemara says that the machlokes between our Mishnah as to whether one Yosef ben Shimon can collect from Reuven is not a question of what chashinan l'nafila. Everybody agrees it's so remote that one Yosef ben Shimon should lose and the other Yosef ben Shimon should find. Elamai, so how does the other Yosef ben Shimon have the document? Because he bought it from the other guy. Was that an effective purchase or not, depending on whether he had a separate piece of paper or not. I have another pshat explaining the machlokes between our Mishnah and the Braisa. The Kuli Alma Oisis, Niknes Mimasira. Everybody agrees that, yes, bottom line, once I hand over the shtar, it was an effective transfer. Of course, the other guy has to be maskami, pays for it, whatever it is. But the kinyan of handing over the shtar is enough. You don't need anything more.
Everybody has a different name instead of Yosef ben Shimon and Shmendel or whatever.
It has a totally different name. So our Gemara doesn't go into that. There are other Gemaras that do go into it, and they say you could go and buy somebody else's shtar even though it has a different name.
Without a shtar.
You have to produce the shtar. But the question is, do you need a separate shtar that evidences the sale of the first shtar. Right. According to the second man, according to man the Yom HaLehu, that you have to have a separate shtar, then you have no question, right? I have the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon to Reuven. My name is not Yosef ben Shimon. However, I bought it from him, and I have a separate piece of paper saying Yosef ben Shimon sold it to me, and therefore it's my shtar. That's if you hold ois yois nikmas b'mesir. Hold the ois yois ein nikmas b'mesir, you have to have a separate shtar. If you hold ois nikmas b'mesir, you do not need another shtar. Just the fact that I happen to be the bearer of the shtar, that I'm holding on to it, I tell the other guy, Mr., I bought the shtar. So you're going to tell me, but what's the proof that you bought the shtar? Maybe Itaka found the shtar, or something else. Says the Gemara, v'hocha b'tzorech l'havi raya k'miflegi. Do you have to go and prove that you bought the shtar? The fact that this Yosef ben Shimon, or in your case, if I, whose name is not Yosef ben Shimon, is holding on to the shtar, how can I go and prove that the shtar is mine? Maybe I found it. So you tell me, l'nefil l'chashin. L'nefil l'chashin is only in a case where one Yosef ben Shimon finds the shtar of the other Yosef ben Shimon. That's a very, very small probability. However, stam to go and find somebody else's shtar, that's very, very likely. That's why there are eight billion people in this world. One of the people is bound to go and lose a shtar from time to time. Somebody else is bound to find the shtar from time to time. You're wondering, so what are all of the halachas involved? That's why we have a perek called perek elimetzias. Elimetzias shaloi, elichai v'achris, when do you have to give it back? If people didn't lose things, you wouldn't have to have a whole perek talking about what happens. If you did find it, you didn't find it, and who do you have to give it back to? How do you be machris? If it's a city of Yisraelim, non-Yisraelim. So if other people lose things. So if I now bring somebody else's shtar, the question is, do I have to prove it, or just the fact that I'm holding on to it? I'm a muchzik. You want to tell me that it's not mine? And that's now the next gemara. So thank you, Bill, for introducing us to this noob shot.
So if you hold the Mesirah Shtar Koneh B'Mesirah, which is looks like that, you don't need to put, you make all the loans to the bearer. You don't have to do it to any name.
Well, that was already yesterday's gemara. If it just said Mimcha, right? That was
right.
Yesterday's gemara.
It's a bearer, but it's the bearer, and making it Yaakov and Shmuel, it's exactly the same, because you hold by Mesirah.
Okay, so let me just crystallize your question, so that everybody understands it. Maybe everybody already understands it. Yosef ben Shimon lent money to Yankel, and now Yosef ben Shimon sells his shtar now to Reuven. Reuven now is the owner of the shtar. Does he have to have a separate shtar evidencing the sale? That's machloikis oisins and mesira or not. Assuming that you hold that you do not need to write out a separate shtar, but rather you sold the shtar to Reuven, and Reuven now is the bearer of the shtar, even though it does not say his name in the shtar, it says Yosef ben Shimon, and it says Yankel, 100% right. But Lamasa, unless the loiva challenges it, the malva says, it's my shtar, I bought it, and therefore you owe me the money. Now the loiva can go and say, Mister, I don't think the shtar belongs to you. I think that you found the shtar, or maybe it was already paid, and we threw it out in the trash bin, and then you were looking for old newspapers in the trash bin, and maybe a little bit of food, and you came across this shtar, and that's why you remember this shtar up. So then he would have to go and prove that he went and bought the shtar from the original Yosef ben Shimon. How would he prove it? He doesn't have to have a separate shtar. He could bring two items that will come into the court. Yes, we remember. Yosef ben Shimon was right after the daf on Sunday morning, and Yosef ben Shimon sold his $100 shtar, which was from Yosef ben Shimon to a loan to Yankel, and it was a $100 shtar, and he sold it for $50, and now it's 2 months later, it's the maturity date, and that's the reason why he's collecting. It's totally bona fide. Okay, so that would be the way to prove that it belongs to you. And then it would be, the loiva would be, and if the loiva can prove otherwise, and say, now the whole thing is not true.
The
malv is not the moitzi. In terms of the shtar, the malv is holding the shtar. So he's the muchzik on the shtar. The loiva wants to go and undermine the shtar by saying it's not your shtar. In such a case, if he challenges the bona fides of the shtar, then the burden of proof now transfers, shifts to the Malva, and the Malva will go and say, I have two Edom that this is my shtar. I wasn't the original Malva, but I have Edom that I bought the shtar from someone else. Exactly. So anyway, so our Gemara, we do not need to go and talk about a situation like Bill's situation that was sold to Reuven, because Yosem and Shimon sold it to Yosem and Shimon. The fact that he handed over the shtar is already enough. Now the new Yosem and Shimon owns it. You have to go and prove that this is my shtar. You don't have to. It says my name in it, Yosef and Shimon. Says the lawyer, yeah, but I didn't go and borrow the money from you. I borrowed the money from the other Yosef and Shimon. Yeah, but he sold me the shtar. He gave it an Oisiz Nikman Masira. Does he have to prove his case by bringing Edom that, in fact, he bought it? Or can he say, lawyer, don't try to cause me tzuris. Either I have to be the real Yosef and Shimon, the original one, or I'm the one that bought it from the Yosef and Shimon, because l'nefila lo yichai shinan. So how else do I have that shtar? Either he gave it to me as a present, or he sold it to me. So therefore, tanadi don sabrein tzach lav yirai. Just the fact that I'm holding on to the shtar, you want to say it's not my shtar, you're the moitzi mechaveira. You go and prove that it's not my shtar. Certainly looks like my shtar. It says Yosef and Shimon. My name is Yosef and Shimon. It says your name. And therefore, you can go and collect on it. You have to go and prove that it's your shtar, because maybe you bought it from somebody else, and therefore I want you to go and prove it. Maybe just gave it to you as a pikadon, and you didn't buy it. So you got to prove it. The Itmar, where do we have this machlokes? Oh, you see, it's nicknamed Masira. It's a good kinyan by just handing it over, but if and when you want to collect and the other person challenges, you're going to have to bring proof that you bought it or that he gave it to you as a present or whatever. For Rav Amenu Tzarklav, you're right. Just the fact that you're holding on to a shtar with your name, that's really enough. You don't like it, prove that it's not my shtar. Now, where do we have a raya to either view, whether you have to bring a raya or not? Omer Abaya, I'll bring your raya. Abaya is one of the Tzarech L'Havi Raya. He's bringing the Raya to his Shita of Oisiz Nik Masira, but Tzarech L'Havi Raya. Omer Abaya Menoa Menelo Desani, we have a Braisa. Echa Menoa Achen Shashtar Choyv Yoitzi Mitachas Yodoy Olav L'Havi Raya. What is this all about? You have a person who passed away. He left over a bunch of sons, and of course he left over an estate with different types of property. And one of the types of property was there were one or more Shtorei Choyv that were owed money that was owed to him. So one of the brothers takes one of those Shtorei Choyv, and he goes to a loiva, and he says to loiva, remember that you borrowed money from our father. Our father, Rechman al-Islam, never passed away, but you owe money to our father. I am the Yoresh, yet there are a bunch of other brothers as well, but I'm the one that was the Zoche to this part of the Yerusha, this Shtar Choyv. You owe me the money, you got to go and pay. In other words, he's holding on to it. Says the Braisa, he has to prove that he is in fact the bona fide Yoresh of this Shtar Choyv, as opposed to any other of his brothers. So what do I see from this? I see that a person who bears a shtar in his hand, he can't just go and say, I'm holding on to it. You got to go and pay. He's got to go and prove that it's his as opposed to any of the other brothers. So you want my love, who had din l'achreni? Wouldn't you say that the same thing should apply by uns, by any case of a person who's holding on to a shtar, where there is some question as to whether he is the original malve or he bought it, even though it says two Yosef ben Shimon's. So just like over there, you have to go and bring a raya. Over here too, as well as in all cases where you have any type of promissory note where your name is not mentioned, you have to bring a raya that you bought it or how you received it by Matana, by Yerusha, or some way. The Chori says a pay of a raya. V'rov omen no nishka raya. Shani achen v'shamta mehadodi. Well, this is a different story. Why? Because as they are dividing up the estate, you might find that if you have one of the brothers who's less than totally erlich and scrupulous and meticulous, he might see a document there on the table, and he takes it and he puts it in his pocket without telling anybody else. Is that nice? No, it's not nice. But there is at least that possibility, right? Everything is out on the table. Okay, Kindlach brothers, let's go and divide it all up. And while somebody's not looking, one takes a watch and the other one takes a shtar, and this one takes this and this takes that. Oh, that's why you have to go and prove it. Because there is that possibility of dishonesty. But in a regular case, you don't have to prove it. So therefore, Rava says, no right. Ikri Yami, others say, punk fakert, that Omer Rav Amino Aminolo, how do I have a riot to me that when you have a promissory note, that ain't tzorach l'havi raya. The sign you from the very same brisa. Ech menachin shishachoy v'yitz medachas yodoy. Ola l'havi raya. Achen hu, disham to miadodi. By achen, unfortunately, you have to bring a raya because you have that possibility of the temptation, etc. Yeah, that for one brother will steal it from the others. But generally, no. You don't know. That's why the brisa dafka brings a case where there is a stronger likelihood than usual that somebody, Chas V'Shalom, will go and steal the shtar. But otherwise, you don't have to prove it. V'abaya, no. Achen, it's trichalei. I need to go and tell you about Achen. Since people know that that's unfortunately human nature, and that there's a Yetzirah everywhere, Se'ema, Mizdar, Zahiri, V'le trichalei haviraya. I would think that people understand in advance, I got one brother, he has a brother, not so enough, and therefore they're going to be very, very careful. They're going to have everything under lock and key, right? You go to all these pharmacies now, these drugstores, you can't just take something off of these shelves. Right. You have to go and there's you have to get a lock, and you have the special clerk who's going to open it with a key to take it out. Never how we have fallen. But the point of all of this is that they're going to be extremely zahiri, and there's going to be a very, very pinklich list of all the things that are there on the table, that are the estate, and they're going to account for every little item, and therefore you would not have to bring a raya, so I might have thought, kamash malon, no, even in such a case, when people are zahiri, and they're careful, and they're meticulous, and they write down, blah, 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 you always have to bring a raya. Sure, in Nishkara. Okay, so far we had two mandiyam. In other words, we had one shita in our Mishnah, that the Yosef and Shimon, although you cannot go, and if a Yosef and Shimon is a loive, you cannot go and collect from him. Why? Because he can always say, I'm not the loive, it's the guy across the street. However, if the Yosef and Shimon is a malve, then he can go and collect, because otherwise, how would he be holding on to the shtar? Must be that he was the lender. But then we have the brisa at the top of the omid that said, nishtazai, that even if he is the malve, ein moitzian al acherim. Why? Because maybe he bought it from the other person, and Oisius ain't a nicknus from Masira. Or even if he holds Oisius a nicknus from Masira, he has to bring a raya that he bought it. So we had a machlek. But now we're going to have a third shita altogether. What is this third shita? In our Mishnah, remember, we said that ain moitzian ze al ze. What was the lashon haMishnah? Back on the Omer Aleph. You have two Yosef and Shimon. One Yosef and Shimon cannot go to the other Ben Shimon and say to him, you owe me money, you see, I have a shtar, you owe me the money.
It could have been a paid shtar that the other one had given him.
Oh. We have another Braisa, first wide line. Kishem Shemoitzin Hein Shtar Choyv Al Achirim. Just like they can be Moitzi Shtar Choyv. It was like our Mishnah that you can be Moitzi. Kach Moitzin Ze Al Ze. Then one Yosef ben Shimon could go to the other Yosef ben Shimon and say, you owe me money. Look at the shtar. The shtar says, you borrowed from me money from me, and I'm holding the shtar. So the Choyra, b'maykem ifliki, what is the machloikis? Can one be moitzi on the other or not? Says, you more, it's simple. B'koysin shtar l'loiva avapisha ein mal v'im moykem ifliki. Can a loiva commission the writing of a shtar even if the malva is not with him? Now, normally we hold that a loiva can. Why? Because the loiva wants to have a shtar available. So that if he gets the malva in a good mood, and he says, malva, I really need the money desperately. Can you please lend me the money? Don't keep on pushing me off. I need the money today. Okay, fine. I'll give you the money. However, I can't do without a shtar choyv. You know, there's no soifer in town. Next time he'll be here is in 3 weeks, and we'll talk about it then. Guess what? I already went to the soifer, Baruch Hashem. I got my shtar already, and therefore, just give me the money. I give you the shtar, and Shalom Yisra.
In Wall Street, it's called a shelf offering.
Shelf offering, very good. Yes. I'll take it off the shelf.
That's
good. One. The loive can go to the soifer and say, please write me out a shtar. In this case, he's going to say, the shtar will read, Yosef ben Shimon owes Yosef ben Shimon $100. So what happens now? Zimnan de Osel Gabi Safra, you'll have one of the Yosef ben Shimon going to the Sofer, Visadi and to the Edom. The Omalahuni says to them, Kisvu li shtar, do me a favor, I really need a shtar desperately, to be in a lemez of me Yosef ben Shimon, Chaveri, because I want to borrow money from the other Yosef ben Shimon. And therefore, I want you, please, to write out the shtar, so I'll go to the other Yosef ben Shimon, he'll give me the $100, and Baruch Hashem, he'll get the shtar, and I'll get my money, the loan. But guess what? This Yosef ben Shimon is not the honest person that you thought. After they sign it, they write it and sign it, Nikitale, he takes the shahr to the other Yosef ben Shimon, Va'omale, Havli Meya, you owe me $100, the Yazus Minoi. This is my shtar that I'm the Malva. In other words, he got the shtar to be written under the ruse, under the pretense that he is the loiv. And if you hold that koisin shtar loiv, I'll be shem al v'imai. Sure, I'll do the loiv toive. He'll have a shtar so he can easily go and collect from the malve. Not collect. He can get the loan from the malve, and then he'll give him the shtar. After he impersonated after he camouflaged himself, that he happens to be the loive, and they wrote out the shtar, then he goes to the other Yosef ben Shimon, and he says, well, I happen to be the malve. What means I happen to be the malve? It says on it, Yosef ben Shimon lent money to Yosef ben Shimon, and that's why I'm holding on to the shtar. Presumably he couldn't do it on the same day, because it has to be a maturity date. Okay, fine. So they wrote a maturity date of 30 days. 30 days later, this Yosef ben Shimon takes the shtar to the other Yosef ben Shimon, says, you owe me money. What are you talking about? Here's the shtar chayv. Ah, so that's why the Mishnah says that you can't do something like that.
Paid him on the shtar, this dangerous shtar that's going to be used for fraud. When do they sign it? The sofer writes it, but the Edom only signed it in the presence of the loan itself. Right?
No, you see that. Look at the Gemara. Zimun de Ozel de Gabi Safra Visahadi. He goes to the Sofer and the Edom, and he says, Kisli Shtar, write out the Shtar, and sign it for me. And then, Boser de Kasmi Vachasmi Lei, after it was written and after it was signed, he goes and takes it as the Malv instead of being the.
It's a complete fraud. Okay.
Total fraud.
It should be the Sofer's fault. There should be a school for Sofer.
Well, that's exactly what they say. This is the regulations for Sofer. This is exactly what it's legislated.
And that's why Tana brought the other Tana that says, no, you cannot do that. Sofer ein koisin shtar loiva ad shehei malvi imai. That in fact the Sofer is not supposed to write any shtars until he has both parties present. Otherwise, don't write out a shtar. That being the case, says the Braisa, that's why one Yosef ben Shimon can go and present the shtar to another Yosef ben Shimon, because it cannot be that he is the loive and he's masquerading as the malva, because we would not write out a shtar without the presence of both parties. So this type of situation cannot occur, and that's why in our Mishnah it can occur, because of the fact that our Mishnah holds that koisvin shtar loive avopish ein malva imoy, so then the so-called pseudo-loive may then turn out to be, quote-unquote, the malve, and be dishonest. However, in the other braisa, that cannot happen, because you would not write out the shtar only for one party. Back to our Mishnah now. Okay, so you have over here, initially the Gemara assumes we're talking about a malve. And malve went and lent money to a whole bunch of people, and it says he has among his, in his drawer of his dresser, he has a note over there. You should know the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon has already been paid. That's been paid. In other words, this is a malva, person who is a person of means. He's made a lot of halvois. He has perhaps 5, 10, 20 shtarais. And among them, he has 2 shtaris of Yosef ben Shimon. And he writes on a note, Yosef ben Shimon's shtar has already been paid. Why didn't I give it back that shtar? Because at the time that he paid me the money, I wasn't home. I didn't have the shtar available. He wanted to pay me. I said, yeah, I'm going to give you the shtar tomorrow. Ultimately, I couldn't find it, or I forgot, and he forgot. But I wrote down a petek. I wrote a note.
So it's a shover?
It's similar to a shover, but the shover you always hand over to the loiver.
Uh-huh.
Here he just put a note in.
Mark stamped it paid.
Right. He stamped it, but he didn't. Yeah. Okay, stamped it paid. Good. So nimfliach min shroizu shtorishu yoizim in shimin peruah, shtorishneim peruah. The problem is that he has 2 shtaris of Yosef ben Shimon. Only one of them did he make a notation on his pad, on his machberis or whatever, that it's paid, but not on both of them.
What does parua mean?
Parua means paid. Parua is paid. So now we got a problem. What's the problem? Ultimately, he has these two shtarois. He takes it to the loiva. The loiva says, I paid you. I understand you even made a notation in your records. Yeah. Okay. He goes to the other loiva, and the loiva, all to the end of, because he has two Yosem and Shimons who are loivim. I'm sorry. And so he says first to one of the Yosem and Shimons, not that he has to say anything. He wants to collect the shtar that is bona fide, that is still outstanding, but he doesn't know which one of the two. So, of course, Barry said before, well, next time you write your shtaris, write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, and the other one, Yosef ben Shimon ben Naftali. Yeah, that would be a good thing, but they didn't do that. So what do we do now? So says the Mishnah, since he found this notation that one of Yosef ben Shimon's documents is paid, then, by definition, shtaris shneim peru, and he cannot go and demand payment from either one, because he doesn't know which one. It's only because he had that notation in his records. So what happens if he didn't find such a notation? Then he would be able to go and collect from Yosef and Shimon. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah that we quoted at the outset, which you looked at it again? If you have a malva that says Yosef and Shimon owes me money, it makes no difference whether he has one star, he has a 20 stars, whether he has a notation in his drawer, he doesn't have a notation. You cannot go collect from any Yosef and Shimon, because the other Yosef and Shimon says, it's not me, it's the other Yosef and Shimon. So it really doesn't make a difference if he has that note that says that one of the shtaris of Yosef ben Shimon has been paid. Even if he doesn't have such a note, you'll never be able to go and collect on a Yosef ben Shimon note, because it says in our Mishnah, "Bloy acher, a malva cannot collect from either one, because I don't know which Yosef ben Shimon." And each one could say, go to the other guy,
If the shtar was written in front of Haiti,
so Adam, everyone, they went to Australia,
they could say, oh,
that's your shim.
They could say, it's the guy with the white hair, not the guy with...
That's exactly what the Mishnah said. If you have simonim, that the guy is, what was
short,
the Russian of?
Law
exactly, or Rebam said along what Bill was saying, what happens if he's a Lovan or a Gichar or a Shachar? In other words, he had a different
complexion
or a different skin pigmentation, or in your case, you're saying he had white hair and the other guy has black hair.
Well, that's
stuff
not
like
good, because a black hair guy can become a white hair guy.
Yeah, well,
over time, over the life of the world.
If it's a 50-year maturity date, for sure. Yeah. But if it's only a 6-month maturity date, then it's less likely. And especially if the two Yosef Shimons and Baruch Hashem still here in Beis Medrash, one still has black, one still has white.
This makes more sense when we talk about Yorshim. So there's a deficiency of certainty as to who it was, because the Yorshim find it, Yosef ben Shimon, they go to this Yosef ben Shimon, or they go to the Yorshim of this Yosef ben Shimon.
Exactly.
And the Yorshim, so if you're talking about second generation, everybody, all this makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
There's not even any subterfuge here, because everyone says, I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought it's the guy at 9 Martha Avenue. Mm-hmm. We're at 8 Martha Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all very, very upright. You don't have to talk about crooks even.
Yeah,
it's your shim. It's all very understandable.
Yes, it's very understandable. And by the way, there happened to be, can I hear, a large mishpachas today, where they named the children after Zaydis and Elta Zaydis and Elta. And you can have, therefore, in the same mishpacha, a number of kids, you know, they're uncles and nephews.
This was Menachem Mendel, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, when after the Samaruf passed away, you had a 1,000 yoils. Yoili, yeah. And same thing for the Lubavitch, Menachem Mendel, exactly. So it's, in certain circles, this could be more common. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, Nochmo. Time in the Nimtz, it's Davka because you found such a notation. Only Nimtz, Motsi Mapik, Vonan. We learned in the Mishnah, it makes a difference with your notation, this notation, you can never go and be Moitzi against any Yosef and Shimon, because he can always point to the other guy. Omer B'Yemia, B'Mishuloshin, it's talking about in the Shtar that in fact it said Mishuloshin, and that's the reason why he's able to go and collect. What does he want to mean? Under normal circumstances, if he did not have a notation, he would be able to go and collect from the Yosef and Shimon. Why? Two Yosef and Shimon, because Itaka says Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov, Yosef and Shimon ben Naftali, and therefore that's what it said in the Shtar Choyv, and now we can go and collect from Yosef and Shimon. Yeah, maybe it's the other Yosef and Shimon. What was your grandfather's name? It was Yaakov. Okay, that's why it says in the document Yosef and Shimon. Ah, that's why he wouldn't have a problem in collecting. However, if he put a notation in his files that one of the Yosef and Shimon's shtaris is paid, then we have a problem. Why do you have a problem? Didn't he write down in his notation the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov? V'nechsi tavra b'shmo d'man d'chsiv. That notation, let's see what it said. He wrote the shoiva very, very quickly. Shoiva doesn't here mean a receipt, but it means the notation that he kept in his files, where he wrote down, Rabbi Yisai, one of the Yosef ben Shimon shtaris is the one that's paid. Yeah, but which one? Is it ben Naphtali or ben Yaakov? Sorry, he didn't write it. And as you say, a Yoresh years later won't know. So we have problems. So that's why we have to have this new case in the Mishnah of the Nimtza Shtar Ben Shtarois of Peruah, such a notation, because of this discussion that the original Shtar is Takam Mishalashim. But the Shoiva said nothing, he just said Yosef and Shimon. Abaye Omar Abaye said no. The case in the Mishnah is just the opposite. We're not talking about a malva. Hachikama nimtza l'loive ben shtaroysev. Shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon alai perua. Shtarish neyem peruan. What happens if a loive has in it, he has one of his shtaris. It says, shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon alai. That Shimon, Yosef ben Shimon owes, he's the malva. He borrowed money from me. But I have a notation in my shtaris that I paid the Yosef ben Shimon already, but I don't know which Yosef ben Shimon was paid. Says our Mishnah Shtoris Shneim Peruim. Since he wrote down that he paid that already and he has that shoiv already, so then he can use it for either one. When any Yosef ben Shimon comes to him and says, "You owe me money. Here's a shtar. Oh, Mister, you gave me a shoiv, you gave me a notation that shows that I paid." Maybe it's the other guy. Maybe it's this one. Since we cannot prove one way or the other, then that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Not that the Malv is Yosef ben Shimon, but the life. Sorry, Yosef Shem Perum. Kate said Yasu Yishalshu. Tana, Im Hoyishnem Kehanim. We said at the end of the Mishnah, what happens if one is a Kohen and one is not a Kohen? The right then Kohen. The other person writes out Yisrael. He writes nothing. But what happens if both are Kehanim? Then Yichtavu Doiros, and you should go and write more Doiros. Doiros means a fourth generation and a fifth generation, as far back as you can possibly go. Why does Tavka say Shneim Kehanim? We Shneim Yisraelim, says the bottom Toises, who are then Shneim Yisraelim. But since the Mishnah used the expression, Hayechem Yehen Koyin, write down that he's a Koyin to differentiate between one Yosef and Shimon, the other Yosef and Shimon. That's why he's saying, if both of them are Kehanim, or both of them are Levim, or both are Yisraelim. So you cannot use that as distinction. You have to do it, just go back another generation.
So that's what you said before, that you can't prove, you don't need the adjective describing him as a Kohen, because otherwise it would have been there.
So go back to the Mishnah. All of this is just Chazara. Whoever learned it with you yesterday, tell him to learn it clear. See the last line of the Mishnah. Vimho you Mishulashim. If you went back three generations already, Yichtivu Simon. What's a Simon? Says Rishbam. He's a good, he's a loven, he's a gichor, he's a shachar, he's an arach. What happens? What happens if both happen to be shorties, or both happen to have white hair, or both of them happen to be 6 foot threes? Then Yichtivu Koyin, right? What is a Koyin? What happens if they both happen to be Koyhanim? I don't know. Says Abisha, then says our Gemara, then write the fourth generation. Go,
goes after the third generation. So,
right. So don't just write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak.
Right.
Just keep on going.
Right, no, but I was asking, you said earlier, you see from this, that Kohen...
That's not part of the name. Because if it's part of the name, so why is the Mishnah saying if one of them has to be Kohen?
Yeah, but it could be, it was just in this case, it wasn't... wasn't required because he thought he didn't know there was two, whatever. He didn't know to put a...
In other words, a mistake. He left it out.
A mistake, or it just wasn't necessary. Put Kohen in there, not Kohen.
So the Mishnah. So what the Mishnah is telling us is you have two Yosef and Shimons in the same town. They daven the same besmeddish.
Right, so and put a distinguishing...
They are constantly getting into trouble because the shtaris are the same, the same name.
The mailman says
the Mishnah, I have an Eitzah Toiva. One of them is a Kohen, right in Kohen. Let me ask you, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? By definition, if the person's name is Yosef and Shimon Kohen, wouldn't you always write Yosef and Shimon Kohen? Not that there would be confusion, and now you have to give an answer. Is the Chassima that's not part of the name? His name is Yosef and Shimon. His name is Yosef and Shimon. You want to differentiate between one and the other. Oh, he's a Kohen, right in Kohen. but otherwise you don't need to write the name Kohen. And therefore, if he's getting married and he's giving a ksuba, and the sofer is saying, or the rabbi is saying, should we add the name Kohen or not? You'll be able to bring a right from our Mishnah that it is not necessary. The only time you write in the Kohen is when you have the potential for confusion.
As a former rabbi here,
yes.
They say Mishaberachs, you don't necessarily add the name of Kohen because mm-hmm. everybody is equal when it comes to refuah. I don't know if that's
okay, so then that would be a raya from a Mishnah that you don't need.
Also, when you say Mishaberach, you say the mother's name.
Okay, so now that you've raised that issue, so let's talk about that. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that if you have two Yosef ben Shimons, instead of going back three generations, four generations, see Yosef ben Shimon ben Sprinzer and Yosef ben Shimon ben Gnandel, and therefore then we would know, right?
Because you cannot prove it.
So now,
we have a case where two Yosef ben Shimons in one city, and they both wives both have the same name.
Uh-huh.
So even that is already in the realm of probability.
It's certainly more of a hypothetical, theoretical than an actual case.
The Mishnah entertains it as a probability that maybe this is the Yosef ben Shimon finds the get mm-hmm. that the sofer wrote on spec. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is my name. This is my wife's name. I want to divorce my wife.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have to pay a sofer. Wonderful.
I don't think that the Mishnah is entertaining the probability. I think it's entertaining the possibility.
Right.
It's just telling us the realm of possibility.
Right.
What's likely to happen may never have happened in history, but it's telling us what would be the din if something like that would happen. Anyway, getting back to our question, why didn't the Mishnah give a suggestion, put in the mommy's name mm-hmm. in addition to the father's name, and that would hopefully go and render this as another simon? Why do you have to have three daughters and tall and short? So the Chassam Sofer writes, is a simon that in the good old days, and even until recent days, people did not know the names of married ladies. And in fact, I remember my father's mm-hmm. friend of Rucha, when he would hear here in America that people would go and call a married lady by her first name, he would kind of shudder. He said, in the Haim, he never heard of something like that, that a person would refer to a married lady by her first name. Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Jones. But to go and call a Scheindel or a Gnandel or whatever, you call a Rebbetzin, exactly. And therefore, people therefore didn't know the names of the first. So if you're going to go and say, well, this is Yosef ben Shimon ben Sprinz, and this is Yosef ben Gnandel, nobody will know the difference. I don't know that. His name is, I have no idea. So my father's friend Ruch always used to say that there was a Rebbe in London, and they would go and ask the children, what is your mother's name? Don't know. What does your father call your mother? He calls her either Zatche Moichel or Herner. Zatche Moichel means, please do me the following favor. Zatche Moichel, be Moichel and do me the favor. Or Herner, please listen to what I'm saying. So they never addressed her by name. And in fact, there are people that when they speak to their wives in public and other people are listening, they refer to their wives as mommy. Mommy, what do you say? What do you do? Where should we go? Etc., etc. Because of this being the great tznius of not mentioning the names of married women.
There's an old man there who says the argument why you did not use the women's name is because it would open women's liberation. You start opening the door.
Exactly. So anytime Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima, people didn't know the names of the ladies. So we continue on to the next Mishnah. Zukta Mishnah Vaitim. Ho'im levnoi shtar ben shtaroi sai perua ve'in yodea ezehu. So now, this is an expansion of the case that we just had now with Yosef ben Shimon. We're not just talking about one Yosef ben Shimon shtar that is paid, and I have two Yosef ben Shimon shtars. I don't know which one, at 8 Martha or 9 Martha, like you said before. So it says in the Mishnah, Oimel Abnoi, shtar ben shtaroi sai perua, a shtar among my shtaris is paid, ben yitei ezehu, and I don't know either. The original father telling his son doesn't know, or the son doesn't remember what his father told him. So what happens now? So now Shtar is calling Peru, and then he has to assume that all of them are Peru. I mean, he's not allowed to go and ask any loiva for payment, because if he has 10 Shtaris, and father said one of them was paid, I don't recall which one. So you can't go and ask all 10 loivim. So Rishbam says, if one of them is willing to go and say, my Shtar was not paid, he's obviously honest and he's great.
He can go and try to collect and say, Shimon, you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
And Shimon says, no, I paid. Okay.
Okay.
No fame. Yeah. Then goes to the other one and people collect.
Anybody that agrees that he did not pay, sure, he's on the hook. But anybody that says, I paid already, since the father said one of those stories is Perua, then you're stuck. You can't go and collect. Now, what happens? Nimtali Echad Shom Shnayim. What happens if one individual had borrowed twice? Not Yosef ben Shimon. Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and Shimon now says to his son, one should know there are two shtaris of Reuven. One of those shtaris is paid. He doesn't tell him which one is paid. So what do we do now? So then either the father or the son, if they try to collect, Hagodl is Peruha, the one which is the larger one, the $100 shtar, the one which is the smaller one, the $50 shtar, the $100 shtar is Peruha, because you cannot go and say to the lawyer, you got to pay me $100, because the father said that one of the shtaris is already paid. Well, Havel Katan ain't Peruha, since he said only one of the shtaris has been paid. So then the bigger one has the one that's paid, and he'll be able to try to collect on the smaller one. So now Rava goes and expands this category of cases even further. Amar Rava, shtar l'cho biyodi perua. Hagodl perua, v'akodin ein perua. Like we just said, you have a malva goes to the loive and says, loive, I have two shtaris over here. I also know that you paid me on one of them. I don't remember which one. So by definition, like we have in the Mishnah, the godl is perua. He cannot demand payment of the $100 because maybe that was the one that was paid. Therefore, you can only demand payment on the smaller one, but katan ein perua. Fine. When he says, choyv l'cha biyodi perua, the obligation that you owed to me is paid. Then shtar is kulin peruin. Then the term choyv l'cha is such a broad term, it's not referring to a particular shtar. It's referring to obligations generally. I realize it says choyv, it doesn't say choyvois. But remember we had yesterday in the parasha that Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, Vayili shor v'chamor. Took to Rishbam, took Rashi in the Chumash. What means shor v'chamor? It's a plural noun. When you say shor, when a person says shor, he means many shvarim. And Rashi says, when you have in the morning, when you get woken up, even though you have multiple roosters that are making noise, you say the rooster made the noise. You don't say the roosters. Rashi said yesterday in the center. Anyway, so here too, he said choyv lach biyadi. That means all the obligations. Then shtar is kulam prun. They're all paid off. So now Ravina now challenged Rava, and he says, El Miata, let's not talk about shtorois and choivois, but let's talk about mekach umemka. El Miata, sodi mechura loch. What happens if he says, remember, I sold my field to you, and he had multiple fields, so I don't know which one. Sodi gedoy le mechura loch. Would you go and say? Then he probably sold him the bigger one. And on the other hand, if he says, sodi sheyeshli, the sodis that I own mechuralach, would you say kosadois and mechuram loy? Just like he said, all the choivais, all the shtarais. Are you going to say if I say sodis yeshli and sod again, meaning in the plural, do you mean that he sold them all of his sodis? That's what Ravina said to Rav. And for Rav, no. Hosim ba yad ba lashtar ala tachtoina. It all depends on who is the muchzik and who is the moitzi. Vosmeitis, let's take a look at the Rishbam, three lines from the bottom. Hosam umishani, hosam yad balashtar l'tochtein, Rishbam, three lines from the bottom. That might be mechal v'ray, that's what we always have. Tehain l'kech, oh, you're the l'kech, and you want to go and prove what I sold to you, what I didn't sell to you, then you're going to have to go and prove which fields yes, which fields yet, no, and if you cannot go and prove it, then I'm just going to give you the minimum. It also goes yad balashtar al tochtoinim. The hainu malve, that's the malve that wants to go and collect. Hilkach choiv loch biyodi perua, kolashtar sheyeshli olif perua. He's going to have to go and prove which one of them or which is perua and which one is not perua. Since he cannot prove it, then he loses out on all the shtars. So it all depends who is the moitzi and who is the muchzik. In the case of the sodois, it's the original owner of the sodois who is the muchzik. You want to prove that I sold you more than one field? Prove it. Mm-hmm. In other words, even when Rav is said initially by the choyv lach, biyodi perua shtaris kulam perua, it's not that he said mitzad vaday. He said mitzad safik. What's the safik? Because he is the one that is trying to get the money from the other guy. Once he says that the choyv is paid, so what does that mean? Ooh, so he's going to have to prove what that means. If he said choyv lach biyodi perua, then we're going to assume that means all the choyvs. Mashenke, in the case of the person who's selling the sodois, who's trying to get the soda? The lekech is trying to get the soda. You want to prove that when he said, sodi lecho perua, sodi sheyeshli mechur lach, that means all the sodois. Now it's your burden of proof to go and prove that, in fact, he sold them all the sodois, and if not, he's only going to give him one. Okay, so the Mishnah. Hamal v'schaber al yidei orev. Orev is, it don't mean a guarantor. Right? So you have a malve and a loive and a person who signs, I guarantee. Liyah from an arif. You cannot go to the arif. Now, notice it doesn't say liyah from an arif tchila. It's a liyah from an arif. You cannot collect from the guarantor.
So what's the point?
Exactly. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to start off with. So why did you take the guarantor in the first place? If you can't collect from him, you're just wasting your time and you're out. Good. We're going to see that in a moment. What happens if in the original shtar choiv, the malva says, oh, since loivi you brought along a guarantor, then I'm going to go and collect from either one I want at the time of maturity. If you loivi don't have, or if the Arif doesn't have, I'll go to either one, and I'll challenge him to go and get payment. Then you're from an Arif. Then that's okay, because that's what they agreed to at the outset. If the loive has the chasim, if he has the chasim, then you cannot go and collect from the Arif. We'll see more about this from Shem Gamliel in a moment. What happens, you have a chusin kala, and the kala side doesn't trust the chusin. Boy, this is going to be a very romantic marriage. Or he doesn't have a lot of money, and so we're afraid that if chas v'shalom this marriage terminates, he won't be able to pay the ksuva. So Yanko comes to the chuppah, and he says, I'll sign as an arif. Arif le'isha b'ksuvasa. V'yibala megarsh. And now it's a year later, 5 years later, 3 days later, and the baal is giving a get to his wife. Then yadirena hano. Then he has to be madra hano that he's not going to take this wife back. This get is a final get, and they're not going to go and remarry subsequently. Why? What's the shaila?
Fraud.
He's going to go and give a get to his wife. The wife is going to go and say, "Nu pay the ksuva." You know I have no money. You know you married me initially for my good looks and because I was a big Talmud Chacham and because I was a Baal Midas, but you didn't marry me for my money. I have no money. But there's an Arev. So they go to the Arev. The Arev says, yeah, unfortunately, he has to pay up the 200 Lamushal if it's a psula. She gets the 200, and then we hear Mazel Tov 3 days later, there's been a reconciliation, and the Chusin marries the Kala once again. Now they have the $200 that they can go and split and they can go and use. So therefore it says, Pshim Gamliel, Arv Lishim Ksuv Asa, if he wants to give her a get, no problem. But then he has to make a neder that he's never ever going to go and marry her again, because if he marries her again, then they'll make a zakanunya. So you're going to tell me maybe we matter neder? Says Rashi, you go make the Rishbam. You make such a neder, she'en li hafara. You do al das rabim, that it's impossible to go and be made for the neder, because otherwise, if the person is a crook, he will continue his crooked ways. Anyway, we start off at the beginning of the Mishnah. If you have an Arev, you're not allowed to collect from the Arev. Well, you're from an Arev. Right? You might have some high time, so what's the reason why you took an Arev in the first place? I mean, are you nuts? Rav Rav Yosef Dam Tavai, Gavra Ashlimisli, Gavra Ashlimilach. The Arev means not that he is guaranteeing payment. He's guaranteeing that I will make sure that there is a loive out there. Meaning, what happens if the loive were to flee, or the loive is going to declare bankruptcy, or something like that? Says the Arev, I'm going to shtel tzu an Arev. I'm not a loive. The loive, that the loive is going to go pay. I'm not going to personally pay from my own pocket, but I'm going to tell you, if and when there's a maturity date, I'm going to get that loive for you by hook or by crook. And guess what? The maturity date is here, and the malva said, who is the loive? And so then the Arev says, I know what the loive is. He brings him into the courtroom. Here's the loive. That's what I meant with my arvus, that I'm going to present him to you. But I never took upon myself as a backup payor. No, that was not the deal. Frank Timara, Maskel Rav Nachman, Haynidin de Parsoi. That sounds ridiculous. And Arev means I'm guaranteeing payment. I'm not guaranteeing that there's a loive appearance in court. That doesn't sound right. That sounds like a dina de Parsoi. Soktimar, that's the dinat parsoi. Adrava. But Arva Azli, if you look up the Persian laws, there the Persian laws are that you're allowed to go to the Arev without even asking the loiva. Not like you're saying that this is dinat parsoi, that I'm going to shtel tzu the loiva. Dinat parsoi is just the opposite. You are allowed to go after the Arev. She said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant is, Al-Bedina de Barsoi, Tlayavi Taimalimulsayu. You're telling us in the Mishnah that you have an Arev, and you cannot collect from the Arev, and you're saying, the reason is because the Arev really didn't guarantee payment. He just guaranteed that there'll be a loivet to go and pay from. That sounds ridiculous. I mean, that's the type of thing that I would expect the Persian courts to go and give out a psak din that doesn't have any rhyme or reason. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, the Gemara rejects this pshat, Elam Rav Nachman, my layif from an arev, layif layit ba arev tchila. What it means in the Mishnah is that when you have the maturity date, the malva cannot walk over to the arev and say, forget about the loiva, he's never going to pay me. No, I'm going to first go against the arev, and if the arev doesn't pay, I'm going to go and sue the arev. No. Layif from an arev tchila. First you have to go to the loiva. When the loiva says, aloi mit an aleph, and you see there's no way of attaching his any of his nechasim, then you can go as a backup to the Arev. You can't go to the Arev initially, you only go to him as a backup. Tanem Yehochi, bring a right from a braisa. Hamalvas chaveri al yidei Arev, li Arev, lo yitba Arev tchila. It's only if tchila. But avada, if the loiva doesn't pay, that's what the Arev is there for. That we had already in the Mishnah. If he says, whoever I want to collect from, and they say, yo, then you'd borrow the tchila, they can go into the Arev as well. Okay. How do I know that there is min ha-toira this idea that an Arev can be on the hook? And Rishbam adds, ba-mira ba-alma b'loi kinyan. Even if he didn't make a kinyan, the Arev is standing there, b'shas the malva and the loiva are negotiating, and the malva gives $100 to the loiva, and the loiva gives a shtar to the malva, and the orev says, yeah, I do, I will go and make good payment, even if the loiva does not pay, and the orev has no benefit from it at all. There's no quid pro quo. The orev is just doing a toiva. So, minayin the orev de mishtabed, how do I know, even if he makes no kinyan, he puts no money on the table, he doesn't receive anything, how do you know that he is meshubet to pay? So, see, it says in the pasuk, there's a famous pasuk of Yehuda telling his father, Yaakov Avinu, let me take Binyamin along with me. And as a result, you'll see that Yosef will free Shimon, and he will come back, and Binyamin will come back. And I'm the Arif, I am the guarantor. Oh, so you see that a person can guarantee, and he's on the hook for it. Maskel Rav Chisda, this is not just an Arif, this is an Arif Kablon. What does he mean? We're going to see in the bottom of the Omid that there's a difference between Orev and Orev Kablan. And Orev is like we learned in the Mishnah until now. You have to go first to the Loiva, and if Loiva doesn't have any money, he doesn't pay, then you can go after the Orev. Orev Kablan means that the Orev is makabel to be the initial obligor, meaning it's as if he is saying at the time of the loan, if you want to go to the loive gesundheit, if you don't want to go to the loive, you can go directly to me. I'm a kabbal on myself this obligation to go and pay the malva. That's called an arv kabbalin. So Gemara, this case of Yehuda and Midyam is an arv kabbalin situation. Why? Because he says, to know you say al yodi vani ashivenu. So what's the riot? So Rishbam explains that the classic case of an arv kabbalin would be where Reuven wants to borrow money from Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon are not on the closest of terms that Shimon is going to extend the loan. Shimon says, Reuven, I don't know you, and you know, you're just a person that comes once in a while. I'm not going to lend you any money. However, there's a third person, Yankel. And Yankel knows both of them. And Yankel goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, can you do me a favor? I want you to lend money to Reuven. I know you're not in the mood. Please, you'll give the money to me, and I'm going to go and give it to Reuven, and I'm going to be on the hook for this money. So even though Shimon knows that Yankel is not the ultimate loive, beneficiary of this loan, he's only, quote-unquote, the broker, if you will, but never the pass-through, very good, a beautiful term. Nevertheless, so that in that case, Shimon, when the maturity date comes and goes, doesn't have to go to Reuven, since he... Yankel accepted upon himself, I'll take good care of you. That's called an Arif Kablan. And then you can go and go directly to the Arif. So says the Gemara, no, that's the same thing over here. Because what did Yehuda say to Yaakov? He said to Yaakov, not just go and send Binyamin to Yosef, but give him to me and I'll hand him over to Yosef. So that's like that case of the Arif Kablan where Yankel says, Shimon, give the money to me and I'm going to give it to Reuven. So Maslur of Chizu, a Kablan, is he, give him to me, I'm going to give it and I'm going to bring it back. So really it's not an obligorsich, it's not an Arav. He's like the Loiv himself. I'm borrowing, I'm going to return it. That's like an Arav Kabbal. So how do you know a regular Arav? Elam Rabbi Yitzchak Mihachan Limar brings two psukim. Neither the psukim are in the Torah, they're both in Nach, in Mishlei. Mihachan. Lekach bigdoi ki Arav Zor, ube'ad nachriya chavleil. So lekach bigdoi take his beged ki Arav Zor, because the Arav is a stranger. However, the point is that an Arav, a stranger, can be an Arav. That's, and now on the date of the maturity, if the loiva doesn't pay, we say to the malva, lekach bigdoi, you can go and take the glima me al kaspoi, there's no loiva, or the loiva comes in without any clothes, so go to the Arav and take his clothes away. In other words, Arvus is mechayev, that he is an obligor, and he has to go and pay. Well, you might have another pasuk. Bni im arav l'riacha. If you became an orev, if you agreed to be the backup guarantor for your friend, tekat nazar kepecha, you gave him your hand, nekashim im reficha, or if nalkadat im reficha, we'll see in a moment that means if you said something bad against that other individual, what should you do? Asei zois eifa bni v'inotzel. You should do something to do tshuva to be able to be saved from any bad repercussions. Because you put yourself into the other guy's hands. And therefore, lech hisrapes, we'll see what hisrapes means in a moment, or ahav riyach. That's the pasuk. Says the Gemara, in momen yesh lebiyotcha, the beginning of the pasuk was b'ni imarafta riyach. In other words, you guaranteed payment and you owe him money. Hisrapes is hatel lepisas yad, open up your hands and pay him. That's his rapis. The imlav, what happens if it was not a question of mamain, but rather that you insulted the other person, that nikashim im reficha, nilkadim im reficha, you said something nasty about him, then harbeil avreim, then go and approach him, either yourself or through friends, intermediaries, to go and do tshuva and ask him for forgiveness for the terrible thing that you said. Anyway, what do I see from this pasuk? That there's an inyan of arvus min ha-Torah b'niyim arav t'riyach. So I have two psukim that says an orev can be on the hook by taking upon himself this guarantee. Omer ha-Meimon, orev d'mishtah bein machloikis Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yosi. That an orev has a chiyuv to go and pay on his shibud, on his obligation, that's a machloikis. What do you mean? Rabbi Yosi the Omer ha-Smachta kanya orev mishtabit. What's the inyan of asmachta? Inyan of asmachta is that the person didn't really think that he's going to have to go and pay. We had this in the earlier Mishnah, right? That he says, I gave it to the Shalish, and I said to the Shalish, if I don't go and pay within 30 days, you can hand over the shtar to the Malka. So the Loivu was convinced that he's going to have the money. He knew, you know, he's going to get his salary check at the end of the week. He knew that he was going to get the CDs about to mature, and he's going to go and get money. He was sure that, yeah, you know, well, nothing to worry about. Yeah, if I don't pay you in 30 days, if I don't pay him in 30 days, hand over the shah. And then for some crazy reason, he did not get any money in the next 30 days. So what happens now? Do you hand over the shtar or not? Says Rabbi Yosi, a man's word is his bond. If he said that he's going to
hand it over,
asmachta kanya. Therefore, the same way you say asmachta kanya, the Orif probably in a million years never assumed that anybody's going to demand payment from him. That's the reason why he was willing to guarantee in the first place. He didn't get any benefit from it. Sorry, sir, you said it, that you're an Orif, you're mishtabit. If you did asmachta kanya, Orif loy mishtabit. If you hold us machta leikanya, the Orif said, you think I'm nuts, I want to go and pay out on Yankel's obligation. The only reason why I did it, because I was sure they would be able to pay. And I know he's a person of means. And did I realize he's going to flee town, he's going to declare bankruptcy? Orif loy mishtabit. I'm going to Ravashli HaMeimar. That doesn't sound right. Why? We all know we pass against machtes taka, not koina. But we know every day for Orif mishtabit, that if the original loiva doesn't pay, then you go after the Orif. The Orev gets a certain degree of hanoah from this. What's the degree of hanoah? That the people now have respect for him and have reverence. Ooh, shee. This person is a person that you can go to rely on in case I lend money to a loiv and I'm afraid that the loiv is not going to pay. But don't worry. You have the ultimate Orev. So therefore, he's willing to mishaben nafshei so that he should get this sterling reputation out there in the community.
So the halacha is?
The halacha is that asmachta leikanya, and an orev is on the hook.
You're encouraging.
No, so people shouldn't say things which they shouldn't say, but if they never really meant it. Asmachta means everybody knows it. If you thought even for 1 second that you wouldn't be able to go and pay up the choiv within 30 days, would you say to the sholish, hand over the shtar, lock, stock, and barrel?
No.
I'm sorry?
For
50%.
That was the commissioner with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, when he pays 50% of the loan. What do you do with this? Do you give a shover or not give a shover?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the pressure of the loan still on him, etc.?
So the reason why I agreed to give it to the Sholish, and I told the Sholish, hand it over in 30 days, because I was convinced. I never thought in my wildest dreams.
You worked for the Harris campaign. Of course they're going to pay all their debts.
As Makta Lokani means the exaggeration.
The exaggeration, exactly.
Do not stamp.
It's not binding.
It's not binding. The person says, I'm going to go and do this.
How do you know when it's an exaggeration? Somebody wants to give me gaver.
He won't pardon his son.
He won't pardon his son.
V'im Omer al Menas she'efra b'mi she'ertza. So this we had back in the Mishnah, that if the initial Malva says, I want to lend the money, but only on the condition that I can go after not only the Loive, but I can go initially after the Orev, then he's allowed to. You know, and that applies only if the loiva has no money. Then you can go initially after the loiva or after the arev. If the loiva has money, you cannot go after the arev.
Sounds familiar.
Let's go back to the sefer Mishnah. You can't go after the arev. In other words, what you've just done now by throwing in this loishonu on the Tanakama and saying that if you say al menas, I can go even after the Orev Betchila, then you can go after the Orev Betchila. No, what says Rabbi Yochanan? Only if the Nechasin, the Loive has no Nechasin. But if the Loive has Nechasin, the Vadi can't go after the Orev. Mister, that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah. If you go back to the second line at the top of the Amid, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Oymim Yesh Lechasel Leiva, Ben Kachu, Ben Kachle, Yifram, and Arev. So now that's what Rabbi Yochanan is superimposing on the Tanakama. So what's the machloik between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Everything works through Mechzer Vachitani. You have to add a couple words to the Mishnah. Hamal Veschavei Ali Yedei Arev, Lo Yifram, and Arev. Meaning Lo Yifram, and Arev Tchil. V'yamal Monash Ephraim, Misha Eretze, then Yifram, and Arev. Then he can. Now we're adding. He cannot go after the Arev. Even if you wrote in the shtar that I want to have the almanas to be able to go to either one, if at the time of the maturity, if the loive has money, he has nechasim, you have no right to go after the Arev, you have to go after the loive. Now continues the Mishnah again. Chasur Mechzer, the Kablan. If you're an Orif Kablan, not just a regular Orif Kablan, Alva Bishesh Nechasim Leloyve Yifram in a Kablan. Kablan means that in the Shtar he agrees to be an Orif Kablan. An Orif Kablan means that I will be a substitute obligor, not a backup secondary obligor, but I'm also like a primary obligor. If you want to come directly to me, that's fine. No, if that's what he agreed, that's what he agreed. Then Yifram and a Kabbalah. Reb Shem Gamliel, Oymrim Yesh Lachasin Leloive, Echad Zev, Yechad Zev, Lo Yifram. Even if he's an Orev Kabbalah, it makes no difference. There's no difference between Orev and Orev Kabbalah. As long as the Loive has the Chasim, you gotta go after the Loive in Betchila. That's what Reb Shem Gamliel holds. However, we do not paskin like this Reb Shem Gamliel. But I thought we always paskin Reb Shem Gamliel in a Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Yechon, Kol Makishen, Reb Shem Gamliel, Misha Seino. Note on the second line, Misha Seino, V'loi Bebraisa. This does not extend to Braises. Only Mishnah is. We always paskin Reb Shem Gamliel in every Mishnah throughout Chas, Lech Gamoise. Chutz Mi Orev, that's our case over here, the Orev Kablan. That if you do have a person's Orev Kablan, even if the Loiv and Baruch Hashem has tons of Nechosim, you are allowed to go directly to the Orev and not, you don't have to bother going to the Loiv. So we do not paskin like Reb Shem Gamliel. And the case of Tzidain, and the case of Raya Achrayna. What's the case of Tzidain? Tzidain is a Mishnah Maseches Gittin, where the Tanakhama says, what happens if the husband who's giving his wife a get says, Amanas, that you have to give me back my itztalisi. Itztalisi means a nice beget. He might have a nice bekisha, a nice yibitza, or a nice tuxedo, really, and it's really, really very pretty. So the chosin says to the kala, meaning the husband says to the wife, I'm going to give you a get, but this get is only going to be chal if you give me back my itztalis. And then she doesn't give him the itztalis, but instead she says, I know in today's market, an itztalis like that is worth $1,000. Here's cash, $1,000. Says the Tanakhama, You have to davke give the insulus. He's not interested in the money. He wants to get back his beget. And you can stand on your head. If you give him the insulus, it'll be a kosher get. If you don't give him the insulus, it won't be a kosher get. That's what the Tanakhama says. Mayasa. Mayasa is the next case, friend. There was a case in Sidon. Sidon is the name of a place, Sidon. They say that's in Lebanon today. Whatever. What happened there in Sidon? There was taka such a case where the husband said, I want back my insulus. And the wife did not give the insulus. She gave the money. And they said, Megureshes. Says Rabbi Yubi Yochanan, we do not paskin like that, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Since he said he wants the insulus, he's a makbid, he's a kaptan. If you don't give him the insulus, the get is worthless, even if she would give him $10,000. He wants back his bag. So we do not pass the Shem Gamliel, that all you have to do is noisen the meha, you have to give back the itzlis. What's the third case? Shem
Gamliel said
he's not makbid. Tanakama said he's makbid. Shem Gamliel said, just give the money and that's enough. We do not pass in that way, since he said itzlis is a kpeda, he wants to have the itzlis. And the third case is the Raya Achroina case. This is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Sanhedrin. What does it say, Mesechtes Sanhedrin? The Beis Din says to one of the two parties, okay, you heard the other party's tainus, you have to now bring evidence. You have to bring evidence. And they give him 30 days within which to bring evidence. Okay, so he has to have 30 days. He runs around town, he tries to find Edom, tries to find Shtaris. He couldn't find them 30 days. On day number 40, he found two Edom that remembered the transaction, remember the whole thing. He brings them into Beis Din. And the Tanakhama says, Beis Din, you only gave a 30-day limit. He didn't extend it. He loses the case. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, what do you want from the poor guy? He tried as best as possible. For the last 30 days, he didn't go to work. He didn't go to learn. He didn't go to Beis Medrash. He davened at home, Baruch Hashem. But he was running, trying to fight Edom, trying to fight Shtar. He couldn't. 40th day, he found it, Baruch Hashem. Therefore, take it. We paskin like the Reb Shimon Gamliel, Baraya Rishoina, that's the first case of Raya, and we will allow the proof to be brought in on day 40, even though Beis Din initially said it's got to be brought in 30 days, because we say, Mayasa, he tried his best, he couldn't find in 30 days, but he brought in 40. After 40 days, we found a bona fide shtar, we find two Edom, he can win the case based on that evidence. What's the case of the Raya Achrein? Raya Achrein is, we start off the same way, we say to Yankel, you want to win the case, you better go and bring evidence within 30 days. He says, Bezin, there's no way I can bring evidence in 30 days. I don't have any Edom. I don't have any Shtaris. I don't have it. Mister, you have 30 days to go and bring in your evidence and bring in your Shtaris. You have the Edom. I don't have any. Okay. At the end of the court says, you give it 30 days. Goodbye. 40th day, he comes back and says, guess what? I found Edom. I found the Shtar. I'm bringing it into the Bezin now. Too late, mister. We gave you 30 days. But in the first case, you gave him 30 days and then you gave him an extension. Because he didn't say he didn't have Edom. He didn't say he didn't have a shtar. He was trying his best to find. He couldn't find in 30 days. Mayasa. Therefore, Rai Rishonu, we pass Reb Shimon Gamliel. We were given an automatic extension, even though the Beis Din didn't say anything. But he tried his best in 30 days. He brought a 40th day. We will listen to the evidence. We'll listen to the shtar. However, the Raya Achroina case is where the person said, I don't have Edom, I don't have a shtar. Why would any idiot go and say in Bezin, I don't have Edom, I don't have a shtar? He's basically saying, he's confessing, I'm never going to win this case. The fact that he said that means he taka didn't have Edom and he didn't have a shtar. By the 40th day, he manufactured Edom and he manufactured a shtar. In other words, this is a baloney shtar. This is counterfeit. These Edom are not trustworthy. Therefore, we do not pass him like Reb Shimon Gamliel when he says, Mayas is there. He only found the Edom later on. If you knew that there's even a 1% chance he had Edom, you wouldn't have said, I have no Edom, I have no shtar. Okay, let me think, let me ask. I'm going to ask around, I'm going to try. Therefore, we pass him like Reb Shimon Gamliel on the first Raya, but not in the case of the Raya Achroina.